Parshas Truma. Parsha starts off, Vaydabar Hashem Omeisha Lemur, Dabar Lene Yisrael, V'yikuli Truma. Take for me Truma. Let's try to discuss a lot of points of this pasuk and the usage of the terminologies over here. First of all,
take Truma or take for me.
Take for me Truma. That's literally what the words mean. Let's try to figure some of these out. So first of all, the Baal Turim says that Hashem is talking in a lashon of pius, like appeasement, like please do this. Even though the Beis HaMikdash, we know, is extremely helpful for Bnei Yisrael, they get kapara, they don't have averus build up, there's an ability for them to grow and get somewhere in life. Even so, Hashem still used the lashon of appeasement. Reb Leib Chassman would explain that just like when a mother tells a child, please do me a favor, eat the food already. Obviously, the child's really doing a bigger favor for themselves. But you make it as if, in some shape or form, it does fit for the lashon of, it would be a great favor to me if you would eat, because then you'd be healthy, and then you could continue on in living. So too, that's with the Eibishter over here, that Hashem is saying that it would be, obviously it's more helpful for you. It would be helpful for me if you would go and help yourself.
Why is it only by truma, not other mitzvahs? Everything should be
definitely. But I believe the base of the Beis HaMikdash is used in a way that it's kapara. There was a loylon adam Yerushalayim until he was totally clean from averus. Exactly the kabbalah. It's unimaginable. Yes, it makes sense in these times to ask such a question because we don't understand what we had. But Hagufo, and we get into the Tisha B'Av and everything of explaining what we had with the Beis HaMikdash, Kaisel was on a totally higher level. So it was
it by the other parts of the Beis HaMikdash, that's by carbonus.
Oh, that's what you're saying. That, oh, okay, me, okay, that's carbonus. What you're saying. But this is, I guess he's saying, Reb Leib is saying this more in a way of, this is the start off of the whole thing. Of course, in the middle, yes, Maske, correct. But in the start of the whole thing, starting off with this. Okay. It was mentioned by Nissim Kaplan previously about the Ar Chaim's question about the order of why it Zohav doesn't seem to be the most expensive things. Really, the Avonim Tovis Margolius seem to be more expensive. Why are we putting them last? And he was saying the Ar Chaim's point more of what you work on. So Ar Chaim takes this a little bit different thing as well, as far as brought out by the following story, as Maisa with the Panavizharov, that he was in America, and an old person saw him, gave him a dollar. Now, granted, a dollar was more than it was in these days, but even so, it was only a dollar. And the Panavizharov says, wait, pulls out the big receipt book, writes him a whole receipt, your name, everything, writes him a whole receipt. Ask the Panavizharov afterwards, like, well, what's the whole need for a receipt? It's a dollar. The person probably wasn't interested in it, didn't want it. Well, what are you making such a big deal about it? So the Panavizharov said, how do we know whose lishma was more? How do we know whether the usher, the regular rich person that I write out a receipt for, who says that that's more work? Maybe this is more work. Therefore, Bakomtem, he's more deserving of the receipt of a showing of recognition of look at what he did for his dollar. You know, sometimes people go collecting in places and they can say that they end up making more money off the poorer people because in a sense, it actually, taka adds up. You have all the, okay, good, you have a few bridge, give big dominations. Both points, really, what we're saying. Yeah, they give, but it doesn't really make a dent to them. It wasn't a real giving much. Okay, these people, these people who don't have as much money, the $18 check that they're giving is so much more meaningful in Shemayim. And taka, look, the amount of those people are giving that as opposed to more of the richer people giving a lot of richness. Taka, you see, it adds up even in this world. The smaller denominations that go with more of a push. The Leiv Elio, Reb Elio Lapian, says, as far as the niceness, well, what are you going with such a nice base? Hamikdash like Hashem needs that, we would think. Pasam al Teichal, Val Aris Tishan, and why are we sitting having the most beautiful place? What We know that's the way it is, right? The Kol Melech is based Hashem. It's mamish. It's supposed to be beautiful. Kol Chel Hashem. The Rambam darshins from all fats should go to Hashem. The Gemara darshins from that. Literally the shul should be the most beautiful. Why is it like that? Why does it have to be that way? Hashem doesn't need it. Rabbi Eli Lapian explains that the Yisoid of the Mishkan was Hashras Hashchina. Ramban says that Shechina that existed and came down by Maimon Har Sinai, on top of Har Sinai, that Shechina moved into the Mishkan. He is of the opinion, huge machlekes, won't get into it, but huge machlekes, what came first? Say, sort of, whatever. What's the reason for the Mishkan? Because it was supposed to be anyways, or is it atonement for the Egel? We know from growing up as kids, it's supposed to be an atonement from the Egel. They did the Egel and that, and that's Hashem said, what should I tell you? Now you have to have a Mishkan. What was supposed to be before that? According to those people, what was supposed to be before that is that every Jew was supposed to have what it says at the end of Parshas Yisrei. Any place that you build a Mizbeach, I'll be there for you. Whatever that means, that there would, I don't know if there wouldn't have been a Beis HaMikdash, I don't know exactly how to go in that Mahalach, but that's what they say. You would have had a Parshas Yisrei, that wherever you build a Mizbeach, I'll be there for you. Then they do the Egel. Hashem says, I'm sorry, now I'm going to have to be Mitzamtzim it right here. I'm going to have to put it right here in one specific place. It's not open to anyone every morning. Now you got to come to it. Many hold that. The Seder Parshas and Men Rishonim seem to suggest otherwise. Truma Tetzaveh and then Kisisa. Build a Mishkan. Then, unfortunately, an Egel happens, and then it goes right back into Vayakov Akudi. True, you need another, all right, fine, we're going to get right back into it. But it comes, that there was always supposed to be a Mishkan. And this is what we started off a minute ago, that the Ramban says that the Shekhinah was never supposed to disappear from our Sinai. It was supposed to go into this Mishkan. That Klai Yisrael was Zeiche, that should happen.
If there were no Ket Egel, we would already be living in Eretz Yisrael, the base of Mikdash.
That's true. Every Rashi, you will get to an eagle. Says, "V'yom pokti v'kati aleichem." That still today, any punishment, and probably means any big punishment to Klal Yisrael, has in it a little bit of kapara for the eagle. Always still running. Yeah, very, very possibly. So, why do we need such a beautiful base of Mikdash? The answer is because, like we're saying, that the Yisoid of the Mishkan is Hashra Shechina, for the Shechina to be a part of us. How are you Zaychet to Shechina? Shechina is not just going to come to you. Through Shviras HaTaivas, we have to break ourselves, we have to break something, and especially the Taiva of Mammon, of running after money. I say everyone loves his money. So therefore, go, give a big amount, make a beautiful thing, and then Pshat is, now I'm breaking for Hashem. Now Hashem says, okay, now I'll come, now I'll give Hashras Hashchina. That's what Rabbi Eli Lapian says. Also, a lot of similar points that could all definitely be connected. This that we were saying, the V'yikholi Truma, that seemingly, why doesn't it say Titznu Truma, give Truma? What's V'yikholi Truma? So, two possible ways with this. First of all, Rabbi Yossel Slutsker said that it's tikkulis trumasi, that it should be the yisoid of giving tzedakah to something kaddish and special is supposed to be in a way that they'll be running to you after you. They'll be running after you in a way that'll just be open your hand and take it and accept it from them. It won't, and shouldn't be that the gaboy tzedakah, that the people getting tzedakah have to run after the people. No. The people will come to them. We'll simply open our hands. That's the way it should be. There's an unfortunate maisa that happened that helps bring out this point. The one I heard this year from the person, let's call him Reuven. Reuven helped a certain family here in America. Fine. So he felt beholden to them, and when he asked them to help out with the shidduch for their daughter, this Reuven mamish helped this family, whatever. I don't know if anything ever came about it, but he worked very hard for them. Fine. eventually, a certain Rashiva, the Rashiva of this Reb Reuven, was supposed to go to America. And this original family said, oh, we want the Rashiva to stay by us. He should come to us. We'll help out. Fine. Eventually, I don't know if he ended up staying by them, but he comes to them for money. And they say, they ask about every prat, how it works with a younger man there sitting in Kailo. We'll pay $500 a month. Yeah, we'll definitely will give and uphold. And they were trying to ask all the prat, and they drove absolutely nuts. But it sounds like, okay, we'll do it. A few months pass. Nothing. They don't send anything. They get a phone call. Oh yeah, we had a little bit of hard times. Yeah, but we still plan on doing it. Nothing. Months pass. A couple years pass. Nothing doing. After all the craziness that they made and the pledges that they made and said they would give. Well, at least Baruch Hashem, in some shape or form, a couple years later, their daughter gets married. Their daughter comes to Yerushalayim. And within the first couple months, all the jewelry, $20,000 worth, was stolen. We're not trying to play Hashem over here or whatever, but there's definitely a lesson to be learned from anything, and I think this definitely is boiled as well, that we need to run after giving the tzedakah. It shouldn't have to be that people run after us, and definitely not in a way that they're running after us, and then we give them nothing. Another thing for the tikhu trumasi is that the Shef Shmaitza says in the name of the Al-Shech, there's a Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Zayin, that says that if a woman gives money to a chash of a person, he can be mekadesh her with that hana'ah, with that enjoyment that she received from, wow, a chash of a guy took my money, he can be mekadesh her with that hana'ah. In other words, it's worth something. That's valuable to a person. That Reb Chaim Kanievsky accepted my donation, or let's maybe make it a little bit more real for us. That Donald Trump accepted my donation to him. That we can understand that that's chashiv. That value is worth something.
Who won't take your money?
Well,
no one will take your money.
If Donald Trump would take my $100, I think I'd feel like $1 million.
Why wouldn't he take anyone's money?
You would take a penny from someone?
Why not?
I don't know.
From it's like running for president or what?
It's like, not the running for president. In fact, he's president already.
So why?
You would take half a penny from someone?
No.
Okay. All right, so to Donald Trump, your $100 is half a penny. Right? So if he would take it, then you'd feel like $1 million. Like
he doesn't
that,
need it.
What?
He doesn't need it.
But he took some of you that's meaningful. He accepted something from you. Right? So the Gemara says the Shef Shmaitza brings some Al Shachum Dush Daf Zayin that you would that he could be the Talmud Chacham could then go and be Mekadesh the Chash, whatever it is, can be Mekadesh that lady with that Hana.
That's
fine. Kacha, that's what it says. So too over here. Hashem said, Tikhu Trumasi, in other words, that it says, of course, the point is that they should give it, but it'll be so lishma, the pleasurefulness that we are giving something to Hashem and Hashem is accepting it, that's so much more pleasureful to Klal Yisrael. If it was just give, okay, good, we gave. But this Hashem says, I'm going to take it. In other words, I'm open. I'll accept your trap. Wow. Hashem is accepting my present? That's big stuff. I feel like $1 million. That's why he uses this lashon. What?
He doesn't need it.
Of course, everything's for us. But there are two bechinas of how to look at things in this world. Right? Because really, Hashem is here. Yet, we know that it comes to Rosh Hashanah and throughout the year, we're supposed to look at him, that we're as Avadim, he's a king. Right? So that's an aspect of life. It's obviously always for us. It's always for us. But in the for us, it's helpful to know that someone above us accepted our denomination.
Shev Shmaitza says that as a halacha.
Shev Shmaitza, apparently, I believe the Isha with the Mammon is a Gemara, Kedushin. I think the Chef Schmeitz is just making the Sushtal. It's probably in his Akdama. That's where he sells a lot of Torah. He writes the whole Alphabet and has a whole Akdama over there. And he says a lot of nice Chumash things over there. Anyways, okay, fine. Similarly, and with these halachas of giving, there's a smichus. We know usually the Baal Turim makes the last word of last week's parasha have something to do with this week's parasha. And so sure enough, his lashon is, the last word of last week's parasha is Laila. To v'yikuli truma. Right, it ends off at night. Arbaim yoyim v'arbaim loyla, 40 days, 40 nights. And then, in this week's parasha, it says truma. So that's a remez. That's the first words of Shas. That mishosh ha'kayim v'nechnasim lecho b'trumason. Shu tzeis k'chavim. That in other words, truma and night are going to have some shaykhis in the first halacha. Okay, nice. The Beis Halevi wanted to make another smichas. Mishpatim and truma. We want your truma when it's run with mishpatim. Almost similarly to the work before. If you just make the money, all the fake money, we don't want that. We don't want that coming into Beis Hashem. Beis Hashem, we want oiska arbet money. We want money that you worked on. Money be'emes, real money. That's what we want from you. When you're keeping the mishpatim, then we'll accept even your penny. It could be, we've mentioned this year before, a famous story, I don't know who they say it from or whatever, that there was a certain kayin that he was almost passing from this world, and he pointed to a drawer, and he told them, that the money for my clothes, for Tachrichim, after Misa, is in there. So what's so special about that money? And he said, that's money from the Pidyon HaBens that I did, and I know without a doubt is for sure real money. That's what I want to go to Olam HaEmes with. In other words, he realized that we don't know. Is anything we're doing Avak Gezel or anything like that, or Avak Ribis? I want something with no Shilas. No shaylas. That's what I'm going to take with me. Unless. So a similar thing. We're saying mishpatim and truma that we want. Well, there we go. There. I don't know necessarily what it should be. What saved for that or not? But you should know that it's real money. That's real money. But it's
121.
It's a real $121.
That's fake. No, it means fake.
Yeah. The rest of the money we have there, it could be shaylas. Are we on with Dr. Kala? That there were no shaylas about that. That's why sometimes we wonder why certain people might get honored certain places or whatever, and we're wondering people are upset about it, they're not upset about it. This is the nekuda sadover. This is the sherish of why sometimes people might be upset, because it doesn't help for a guy to give $1 million if, one, it doesn't make a dent to him, and two, He's not running his life at Kalach of what of it affects the money. There's Meisim with Beryl Soloveitchik, the father of Rami Yeshua, that he befavors that he would leave money on the side when he wouldn't know if it was coming from some places. It would be used for yeshiva's toilet paper. Everything about a yeshiva is hektish and is kaddish.
Toilet paper is also.
It is. But in a way that such money could be used. There was another Meisim that he said they would sell buses to go to some Levi or whatever, and he was trying to figure out where she had the money. And then remember, he had some money that had a shayla on it on the side that someone had given him. So I'd find, use the money for those buses. Otherwise, everything has a cheshbon that has to do really with another whole shmuz that's negated to this week's parasha, the pitzala, the aron. He made the aron. We know the different pshatim, but it could be everyone helped in the aron, right? Vasu as aron. They all had a shaykhis. Rashi, the Ramban, how they all have a shaykhis. So it says that what was special about Bezalel? What did he know how to do? He knew it to be a mitzarif, tziruf, and mamish, all the shameless, beautiful thing. Great. How did that actually spell out? We know that he knew how to be mechavin, that who really, really, really gave real money over here? Who meant to give the money? Who wanted it specifically for Torah? Who didn't want the plaque up? Who all those things that he knew went for the holiest part of the Aron. Someone who was not it. Maybe a little bit less than the Aron, until he knew how to set up. He didn't necessarily know the name of the person, but he knew what was in the money, of what part it should go to and what part it should be melted down for. Again, similarly to what we're saying about this smichas of mishpatim and truma. Once we're mentioning the Aron, we'll mention the Kruma. We'll jump to the Kruma second, a beautiful vart from our Rashiva Rabbi Leaf. So this says Kruvim three times in this expansion. It says Kruvim by the Aron. It says Kruvim by the Urias, roof of the Mishkan. It says Kruvim by the Pareichas, by the separation between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kadoshim. The first time, Rashi decides to tell us, based on Chazal, but he decides to tell us that Kruvim means the Zachar and the Nekeva, right? Isha al-Chaisa, right? What? I heard this from Rabbi Leaf. I don't know who he said it from. I don't know. The next time is by Revi with Kruvim, and it says over there, they're talking about the Urias, and it says the Ari, the Nesher, beautiful, the lion and the eagle. Fine, very nice. The last time is by the Pareches. By the Pareches, Rashi says, Maitza Brias. Stamp some pictures. Good, now a lot of Chazal, you look in a lot of picture books, they'll make it the exact same pictures. But the facts are, this is what Rashi says. How does Rashi know to be with Halk and all these three things? What's he trying to tell us? So he said that the Kruvim, that's the most understandable. They're sitting on the Aron, protecting the Torah with the Torah. That's people who are sitting all day in the Beis Medrash. That's the people living with the... We spoke about this before in this year, about the Gidzei HaMelech, how living and learning with the Torah is literally Hashem's inner storehouse. They deserve to be people. The Urias, what's on top of the roof, sort of away. But they have a Sheiches. They're on the roof. They're protecting. They're giving money. They're upholding. They hold people sitting and learning. They have a Sheiches also. Ari, bold, Anesher, also bold of the birds, Gevaldik. The Pareches, where's the Pareches? Right on the border between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kadasha. That's the guy who looks in the door of the Beis Medrash. He's standing right there on the border, looks in. Not for me. You know what that is, says Rashi? Okay, you looked in. That's a Maisa Brias. That's a,
you give money or
that's
a nice thing.
No.
You don't even do anything.
No, you don't do anything.
You don't even give money.
You don't do anything.
So no
Sheiches. No Sheiches. A Maisa Brias.
You don't even deserve
Maisa Brias. You looked in. But we have to take the step of the roof, but then we also have to take that step of the Pareches and swing in. We all could have a Sheiches. We all could have a Sheiches to those Kruvim. It doesn't have to be the people who are there all day. We have to have a Sheiches also. Rambam says, and Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, Lo Yishevit Levi Bilvad, not only Shevet Levi themselves, and let's refer to that also, the people who are Zoicha to grow, seemingly, whatever that means, quote unquote, into Torah. El Kol Echad V'Echad, anyone can decide that they want to take on the Torah, and take on the Torah means any level that we start giving up of ourselves, that's already called taking on the Torah. That's already that level. Let's not be that person who sits there by the Pareches, teetering, nah, I'm out. You know, go in. Say hello to Hashem. Say hello to the Torah. Not able? At least drop off something. But to be there without a Sheiches and always remain there, that the Torah is telling us, it's a Maisa Brias. You got to see. It's beautiful. You got to see into the Beis HaMikdash, but don't just leave it at that. That's what it's telling us.
I actually did that. I mean, I didn't know this. You know, obviously I was gap there, but in the Vatican, you didn't know, kind of not supposed to go in the Vatican.
Okay.
Side point. I knew that after, obviously. But the Sistine Chapel, that you can't go in, because that they talk a daven 3 times a year.
Okay.
I didn't know the Pope daven that then. So I went to Sistine Chapel, I literally just peeked in. I didn't go in. I just looked up. I actually tried to get a picture with the guards on me a few seconds. All I did is I stood outside the door and I just leaned in to try to see the creativity, and then they're like, yeah, you're out. They saw me on the camera and they threw me out.
The Michelangelo.
Michelangelo, yeah.
Yeah, on the ceiling.
Yeah, yeah, like 3 seconds. So the opposite to come on, but do that after the trip.
Right, no.
So it's opposite. So yeah, it's not. I mean, I didn't want to go on the too much.
Yeah.
So I did. I peeked. It's funny. The guy became blind because of that. Oh. My glasses became blind doing it.
Really?
Yeah. Years. Years. And as a host, and as a kid, you know, the amount of creativity in the parsha that he did was astonishing. I don't know. Anything to do with Judaism, you would die on the spot. But this guy, he did so much stuff. My God, he did so much stuff relating to Jewish, but not so, like one example was by Adam and Chava. So I'm just trying to say it was a fig, not a. So he did a fig. He didn't do apple, because I thought apple, he did a fig. So it's a lot of, yeah, a lot of, I didn't know it, I think.
Very interesting.
There's a lot of interesting stuff. He came late to this year.
How were they able to make the
children
if it was
a tzelem? It's a tzelem hagufa. It says in the parashas Yisrael, lo yichesev lo yizov, lo yisasun iti. Says Rashi b'shem Chazal, that you do what Hashem tells you, it's a mitzvah. You don't do what Hashem tells you, it's avodah zarah. You make four kruvim instead of two, avodah zarah. You make them of silver instead of gold, avodah zarah. Amen and Moiv paraded around. Look, they say they don't do avodah zarah. They do it just like us. What was different about the eagle? We'll go into this more next week, but that's the side. The side is that kach goes Rasha. Whatever it is, it's you do that outside of the base on Megillah, whatever, a straight up Zara. Straight up Zara, you know, I'll make it. And I'll make it. No, that's the side of the answer. We'll get to it more in Parsh Kizitz, but that's the side of the answer. That ain't a chanami, but kach goes Rasha. Kach goes Rasha, that's why it's not with Zara.
Would you, if not ever, how do I answer this? When the Oren was moving, no, exactly. When the Oren was moving in the
Kodesh Kedoshim?
No.
When they were moving,
yeah, when they were moving, when you see it, do you bow down to it or not? Do you like give it cover or no?
Hagufa was covered. It was covered.
It was covered. You're not to give it cover or yet?
Well, it was, I'm saying it was covered. You know,
if it's uncovered and it goes like out of the street. I don't know how ever that would happen, but do you have to bow down to it or no?
Most don't learn. You know, some, I shouldn't say that. It's a shtick machlekes. Perhaps the only time that such a thing happened was by Shmuel. Was by Shmuel when they
hiding it?
When the Yidden took it.
Hiding in the Vatican, yeah.
When the Yidden took it to fight the Plishtim and the Plishtim ended up winning it, there it's Ganshach, there was the real Arn. They probably didn't take it with coverings then and whatever and Vervase, but otherwise, any other time, I have no reason to believe that there weren't coverings. Besides the fact that it always says there were coverings, you want to know maybe by Yeshua when they're jumping back and forth across the yard? Probably there were still the coverings.
No. If it wasn't covered, do you have to give it to
us? Anshe Beishemesh, after 3 months, the Plishtim finally returned after everyone's dying and the Avodah Zarah are breaking all over Plishtim when the Plishtim stole from Bnei Yisrael at the time of Eli, right after Eli died. So they give it back.
Yeah.
They give it back to Anshe Beis Shemesh. Anshe Beis Shemesh, after 3 months, I think they were dying or something like that. They couldn't deal with it. Taga. Yeah, it was too much for them.
What do you mean too much for them?
He was easy. It's not easy being kind. Living near the Plishtim. I don't know about Anshe Beis Shemesh. The Plishtim, yeah. Living with Kedusha. Esav didn't want it. He chapped. What it was, he ran away from it.
When did he see the urn?
He saw in front of him the whole of what Kedusha is, and he was too scared. He told Yaakov, no, I'm not taking it. It's too scary.
Trade it for soup.
Well, that's part of the Bezayin Shabbai. But he said...
That's confusing now, saying for the against other... If they see... You just like wrap your brain over. If they see you bowing down to the urn with no cover, with two kids, that's very confusing.
That's what you're saying. I hear. Yeah.
Some or even a kid.
Interesting. Well, maybe it's Kali Yisrael's punishment that they get stuck into this point. As far as Hashem's concerned, you do what I want. The urn will always stay there. There won't need to be any reason for the guy to steal it.
Do they know that it's what it is?
I have no idea whether they know or not, but it's not our concern when we're on top. But when we go on bottom, because they steal from us and we did all our avers, maybe Hagufa, that's part of the punishment, then now, hey, the Goyim are even going to make fun of you. You're not going to know what to do with yourself. You bow to it, they're going to make fun of you even more. Maybe that's all part of the punishment. I don't even want you serving me properly now. Because look, you get yourself in hot water right now.
You'll always be in hot water. If they know that, you'll always be in hot water. They always make fun of you.
But if they know that we're on top, then they're not going to ever say anything that makes a difference. And they'll, and not only that, Omal Ars Deo, they'll eventually, by Shlishi, they'll see the truth anyways.
No, not when they realize
what it represents. In Bais Risha, maybe they talk and then know until it actually came out. What was going on? They just knew the Shechina was there. But if the Medrash says, if the Goyim would have known what the Beis HaMikdash did for them, they wouldn't have destroyed it. But Pshat is that they knew it, even at the time they knew. They were very scared. You look through the Midrashim and all the things in Gemara about destroying the Bais, the first many legions did not want... When Lamaisa got to destroying Beis HaMikdash, they couldn't. destroy the Mason English. The famous Gemara. It started off by the Romans or the first one. I think it was by the Romans. They sent in Yeshua Mashisa, whoever it was, another one. Take the Menorah. He couldn't do it again. We mentioned this once in the Shira.
So who destroyed the
Mason English? Mice are good. Then eventually it already broke that special aura of what was felt. It broke the aura already. But you see, the guy in Chab, that there was, whether they knew the Zohar, they weren't going to say that. Now that it's out in front of everyone, yeah, they're going to go make fun of it. But.
I guess it's a lot of information.
Gemara says in Yuma that the arm didn't take up any space.
Right, nice, yeah.
How did it work? Like, if you measure it from side to side, then
it was a mess.
It's somewhere in the middle.
I don't know.
I honestly don't know. It's Lashon Gemara. I don't know more than that. I don't know more than that. I've thought about it for many times. I've had the Gemara and McGill and Yuma.
Because the urn is not physical.
Exactly. Exactly. You don't.
Yeah. Have it's physical, but it's not physical. You
yeah.
Understand that. You don't.
There were a bunch of Nachum boys that came to Rav Dessler and they wanted to make fun of the Torah. So they said, what color is Hashem? So he said Hashem isn't a physical being. So Hashem. And color is something that's just to only physical things.
Uh-huh.
Since Hashem isn't something physical, so.
I don't think he's black.
I hear. Okay. Fine. Right. He mentioned about the Avni Shayam. About that the Targum Yonasan that the clouds brought in. That's why it's put last. That's what we saw.
He said.
Let's see. Oh, right? An arn. What's in the arn? The Torah, the luchas, the shaychas, the actual of showing what Hashem actually gave us, min ha-shamayim, because the shiver luchas were there also. So why are they there? Why are they put away? Right? The Kohen Gadol goes once a year. He goes in there. He doesn't even get to take a peek. Oh, that's what you do with it? Let's put it out. Come on. Let's see it somewhere. We can see it every once in a while. No. Everyone knows who really, the Yehudi Dover who really know that Be'etzim, you have the most expensive piece of jewelry in the world, you keep it totally under wraps. Forever. Yeah, Pshat is, we have that. We have a Shaychas to that. We tap into that. We know it's there. But to go see it, no, the less special. Yeah, anyone who's wearing these huge diamonds today, it's probably all fake. It's probably all fake. Who's wearing it up, down, and around? Jet, expensive more time, more.
Was sold for 672 million.
Okay, and where is it? It's on someone's finger? No. If you see it on someone's finger, it's probably a copy.
Probably in a museum.
Exactly. Yeah, like probably 10 stories under every night under key and lock. Like, exactly. Exactly.
But you can still see it.
There's what's called, the one I heard the shir from said that, I don't know what this means, but a ganif told him that the best place to keep your money in your house is in the kitchen. They're not checking the kitchen. They know that you keep this stuff in your bedroom, wherever it is. The Shiloh is which sock under which sweatshirt, whatever. That's the Shiloh, but not in the kitchen. The open is bringing out the same site.
But you can see it. That was expensive diamond.
Also, there's the famous monster with the clock that they put it high up. For two reasons. First of all, so that people won't be able to change it.
Right, because then everyone has a shaykh.
Change their own watches to be like that clock.
Right.
So that if we can't change the tire, we have to change our own lives to be like the
tire. Zalman Sorotskin said by the Brisker of Levaya, said, I don't know if he spoke by Levaya, whatever, but he said it has to be about the Brisker of. He calls mind that the Brisker of was around, no one could make up and change the tire. Because there was someone sitting on Rechayv Press, which is where the Brisker Rav lived. There was someone sitting there who was always ready like a lion to show, no, that's not the MS, this is the Torah's MS. So now he's gone. Who knows what can come out? Another thing I just want to say about the Torah, that Rav Nosson Adler said that it looked like the Kohen was carrying the Aron. But really, we know it was nice. It's nice. Really, we know it really carried the carriers. And so too in the world. Not just verveis, almost like Rabbi Zupnik said last week, b'shem l'chazanish, that whatever, it's not the Bali Tzedakah who are holding up the Torah. The Torah is holding them. It's a story of someone had his son in learning for years. Okay. Eventually, he pulled him out of learning. You have to go work. I can't support you anymore. The guy had a heart attack. So he sent his son back to learn. Things got better. He pulled him out of learning again.
Hurt again?
He died.
Die? No heart attack?
What?
No heart attack?
No heart attack. No second chances. Vervais. What?
Wasn't going to learn his lesson.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You know, what's it called? I think I just heard last week someone said in the shiur or whatever, something that story. I think a recent maestro, Chaim Kinevsky, someone's wife was sick and he told the younger man, learn Eilu Treifas. A very hard parak comes out of school and all about Treifas. By the shiva, Chaim Kinevsky was there and he said, did you learn the parak? He said, no. I didn't have time, whatever, is busy. Chaim Kinevsky said, Chava. We could say the words to be nice to ourselves, who really knows, but really it's nicer to ourselves to take the lesson and say, the Torah is upholding us. The Torah is upholding us. When our directors say, do this, then that'll have the power, that'll have the power. The famous story about how the Chazanish told the doctor, if the doctor would have done it a different way, it would have messed up. Even if it would have been medically right to do it the other way. But once Chazanish said that it's this way, that's the way it is. The Torah, Lamaisa, the fact that it's nice, then it's always going to be like it. It's always going to be like that. And we have to know that and realize that what's the line? That's not what you can, what's it called? That's what you could do for your country, whatever, whoever's line. That's not what your country could do for you. That's what you could do for your country. I'm saying the same thing. In other words, realize that it's the Torah holding you up. The Torah is holding you up, and we should realize that and not take our shaykhs away from it. A guten Shabbos.